You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Get away from Twitter, communicate with us and other Heat fans all day long. Almost 600 members on there now. Find out why. The link is right here in the description on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes our friends over at Prize Picks. Yes, you can be a degenerate like us. You can wager on Summer League games. What happened to Bronny tonight? Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Legal again in the state of Florida. Set your lineup. Of course, you can play Summer League, but there's plenty of other sports you can pair those players with. So check it out, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow me at Tropical Blanket. And Brady Hawk, you can follow him at BradyHawk305. The Miami Heat are finished with California. They are heading to Las Vegas. Played the Lakers tonight. A lot of their key guys did not play. Their top two draft picks did not play. So we'll get into that. But what we want to talk about is the totality of the California trip for the Heat and what we think of some of the players who played out there. We're going to blitz through this tonight. We'll do deeper dives on some of these players as we go forward. All right, so 30 seconds or less for each of you. Let's do this. Khalil Ware, Alex, your thoughts thus far? Did not play tonight.
Oh, that's a tough one. No, I'm kidding. I think it was fun to watch those couple of games for him just to see like the difference between one game and the next, right? Like you saw some stuff where it was like the screening was a little bit not great. The rim protection was pretty damn great in both games. But then like in the first game, you had like moments where he was kind of jumpy on defense or maybe out of place, you know, and I think those are things that can be coached. But otherwise, like he is as billed. An athletic roller who, you know, had a tendency to kind of play a little bit in the mid-range. I think he has great touch in the paint. I think he showed kind of a willingness to pop out to the three in that first game. Didn't do it as much in the second game, but I think it's going to be something they work on behind the scenes. But as of right now, I think they're going to use him as an athletic roller, and you saw those things at a high level in that second game.
Brady?
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck out to me was just – how much of a fast learner he is, just for the fact of like some things we talked about from game one that he did wrong, that he needed to tweak. And we were kind of talking about it big picture. And the fact for game two, you saw so much of that stuff we were talking about, like the screening needing to be more physical on, and he stayed a little longer. As Alex was talking about the rolling, not drifting out to the three as much, but it's not falling. He just continued to dive. And the biggest thing is, it's not like he's going to just, it doesn't just mean when you roll, it's to catch and get a pull up or get a lob. It's like, so many opportunities for offensive rebounds. He's so much bigger than so many of these guys. He's showcasing a lot of like really good post work, and he has like different counters. He has a really good, you know, touch around the rim. He can get that push shot. And as he's talked about, he feels like the one thing he can showcase a little bit more is that putting the ball on the floor into that pull up. And the thing that stands out, the last thing I'll say is that with that pull up, is it like the shot is so much more fluid when he puts the ball into a pull-up than it is like off the catch. Like it is legitimately fluid in those spots of the floor. So I think the mid-range is a real thing. And the defense is legit, but the shot blocking is needed. It's not like you didn't need a perfect defender on this roster to back up Bam or play next to Bam. You need a guy that is lengthy and can block shots and be able to turn at the rim, and he's shown that he can do that.
All right, my thoughts on it. This first thing, Heat fans, temper the expectations just a little bit in terms of the playing with Bam. Again, I have serious doubts about whether that's going to happen once the season actually starts, but you want to see at least a skill set that may work with him. And we've seen certain things there. And again, the big thing in Summer League is the adjustment from one game to the next. I remember I wrote a column, an ill-fated column, after the first game I saw Porzingis play, saying that he would not be a factor in the league. Looked a little bit better by game two. By then, his agent wasn't speaking to me anymore.
Wow. You jinxed the Celtics championship? Amazing.
I absolutely did. Pelly Larson, Brady.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much as advertised. Like, he's all over the court. And I think that's kind of what he is. He's like a Swiss Army knife in a way that he's not really he's not just a shooter. He kind of does a lot of the other stuff, the things off the ball, the cutting. He really takes contact well, which is kind of the one thing I think that surprised me a little bit. Like, he's a physical player, and usually shooters aren't. usually shooters are just, they're just trying to find open space and fire. Like, no, he puts his shoulder down. He likes to just draw contact. He got to the line in these two games that he played. And defensively, he's kind of, he's kind of all over the place. Off ball, he really navigates screens pretty well, it seems like. He's just a pest, and I think that matters. And athletically, he can run the floor. He does things, he can slash a little bit. Like, I do think the one thing I'll say about him is I want to see the shot a little more in Vegas. He got drafted to be a shooter. He in Miami preaches this all the time, like with their shooters. They don't care what you shoot efficiency-wise, especially now. Like, this is the time to get them up. You have to be high volume right now. So I'm just kind of looking specifically. I think the issue is with Swider on the roster is kind of hurting it a little bit because Swider's getting so many shots. So I think we were talking about lineups in Vegas, and now that Jaime might be playing in Vegas for the first two games, could switch things up lineup-wise, that I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of stagger some things so Pele can kind of be a little bit more as that spot-up shooter.
Is it for you, too, also the shots we want to see more of, Alex?
No doubt, and we will. And like Brady was saying, I 100% agree. They're going to ask him to launch. That's 100% going to be something we see, because I think his natural tendency is to have the all-around game that Brady was talking about, where he definitely does not view himself as just a shooter, and that's not something that he says specifically, because he was hyping up his shooting a little bit in the press conference. Like, he knows that that's like his NBA skill. But when you watch him play, it's obvious to, when you watch him, that he has other parts of his game that he likes to go to. Like, he occasionally shows off the midi. Brady was talking about how physical he is, looking for contact sometimes in the paint, and physical going over screens. His body as a 23-year-old is also very filled out. And that's why I feel like he's somebody who can contribute right away, right? And there's a similar thing with somebody else that we're going to talk about. But I think Larson is somebody who you want to see more of that NBA skill being showed, because I think the other stuff that he does can be showcased and kind of, you can see that stuff more if the shooting comes first and teams are worried about it. And I think he really has a lot of upside to be a great closeout attacker. I feel like he shows a lot of those kind of traits. And so, basically, I don't know if it's crazy to say, like, at his best, you can get some of what you get from your shooters, as far as like, you can throw him in some of those sets if you wish, eventually. And I think at the same time, get some of what Caleb was giving you, as far as being a closeout attacker, somebody who can kind of, be a strong cutter, be a good perimeter defender. So I feel like they got a nice hybrid of a player here, but I would like to see him really launch coming up and just show off more of that shot.
All right, so we've hit the two draft picks. On the other side, we're going to get to some of the undrafted guys. Want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friend Lynette. She was watching with us on Playback today. Go to playback.tv/5RSN. You can call Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800. Aggressive Insurance Agency, insurance by Lynette.com, car insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance. She handles all of it there. Again, 954-581-8800, insurance by Lynette.com.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
All right, Kashad Johnson. Johnson, we talked about him beforehand. We were surprised that the Heat actually got him or were able to get him. He was featured a little bit more today, making passes on the break. It was a little bit of a skill set we didn't necessarily know that he had. Alex, I mean, is this a guy – can you already declare him a keeper at this stage?
Yeah, like I think he's somebody who easily pens – like when you try to project his future, like it really seems like he is just a clean-cut role player who also brings like that element of just chaos – because he is really everywhere, man. Like the guy that was just incredibly impressive what we just saw in a game where kind of their best players were out, and even though they still had, you know, some of their point guards playing well and Alondis and Pullen, I do think it was pretty impressive for him to stand out in the sense where like he was just everywhere on both ends of the floor, and like you saw the stuff that he was, you know, getting talk about being a second round pick for. And I do think, you know, you could say unironically that having Keshawn Johnson is like having an extra second round pick. I do believe that because he was that caliber of player. And I know that's not like a, you know, like something to get super hyped about having an extra second round pick. But I do think they got somebody of that quality. And it's somebody like the archetype, the build is something that we've been talking about for the Heat for years as a type of player they should get in their program. We even talked ourselves into Darius Days at one point a few years back, you know, somebody who could be that similar archetype. And I think Keshawn has more. I think the bounciness is not just like, oh, he has really nice dunks, which is great, right? Like, you know, that's always fun to have some entertainment and excitement in your basketball, but it shows in the way he plays. He had 6 stocks tonight, right? 3 steals, 3 blocks, and a lot of deflections. Like, that's exactly the type of player that they've always liked in the past. His defensive energy is insane. He deflects like good passes. It's really insane. Like, guys will throw just regular basic NBA passes. It's like nothing wrong with it, and he just gets there with the length, the athleticism. It's really like he jumps out of the building, and it's functional athleticism. That's what's really exciting about him. The shot still needs to be worked on, but he's a willing shooter. He's a willing passer. I think he has upside as a transition guy. So, like, these are all things that we've been asking for. And I think he just, you know, gets in the gym, needs to keep working on that shot, you know, has already gotten a lot better on it compared to those first few years of college. So he is on his way, man. I think he's going to be sticking around.
Do you see any scenario where he doesn't, Brady?
No, I don't. I think he 100% sticks, especially with the fact that they're losing, you know, a wing here with Caleb. And even if they didn't, like, they, this guy like jumps off the page. Like, I thought they should have taken him with the second round pick. Like, I was kind of a proponent of pushing for that because just how much he fits them. And I think we're seeing that. Alex said the word lengthy, and I think that's what jumps out to me, is because he's so stocky, and usually stocky guys aren't like also lengthy with the wingspan to be able to have active hands. Like, and that's what makes him so interesting as like a defensive piece. Is that he does like always get his hand on the basketball. He does always get kind of, there was one play at the end of the game that forced at the end of this third, there's the last summer league game tonight, where he jumps the inbound pass, like jumps in the air, 2 hands on the ball, gets it, runs the break, and they end up scoring out of it. He just finds ways to make defensive plays. The question, the reason why he fell in draft, as we keep saying, one of the reasons is the shot. It was in question because he just had one good year this past year. Was it a fluke? And we never seem to really worry about that with Miami. Like, they kind of always figure that stuff out, and they could develop that stuff along the way. And even the shot does not look too crazy. Like, it's a smooth jumper. Like, easy to work with. And there were even points in this game. Like, he was like one of the number one options, and he's shooting pull up leaning threes. He didn't make the one that I'm thinking of right now, but like, he literally was like, had the confidence to do that.
He was the pick and roll ball handler in that one.
He was like, they, it's funny because like, Haywood a few years ago when they played him in summer league did not have this role. Like, they did not like let him play in this fashion. So the fact that he's able to do this now, I think matters. And just the physicality, the stuff he's doing on the offensive boards, the fact that he's not going to get bullied. Like, he's going to bully some people. He's just a Heat guy. And like he said after the game, like he said, I didn't get drafted, but I feel I'm a Heat culture guy. Like, he's going to stick around. There's no doubt about that. My only question is, how long is he going to be on that two way?
Another thing really quick, I also think he has upside to be used as a screener and a handoff guy for the Heat, and the way that they like to use bigs who maybe are not like the most reliable shooters. I feel like he can be a spacer and a screener and handoff guy in that way. But man, well, the guy's just an athletic ball of chaos, man.
PJ did a lot of that stuff. So I mean, I feel like they can get to it. There is a comp there. We've talked about the type of player that they've missed. We know Jimmy wanted to keep PJ for sure. Let's get to somebody who's been a little up and down, but showed more tonight. I think Brady and I have a particular thought on him. Alondis Williams, who I was really excited about. But it feels to me like he's just like he needs to not be around as many of the other scorers. Like when he's in more of a featured role, he shows out. But when he's not, he doesn't have, I think you said, Brady, maybe some of the role player things that the Heat typically look for. And we don't think there's going to be a role, unless there's some trades here, a role for like a primary scorer in the backcourt. Is there? So I guess where does Alondis Williams fit, Brady?
That's the tough part, because he is talented. Like he had that one move on Bronny toward the end of the game where he spun off him and laid it in off the glass. Like he's a smooth player. Like he's skilled. The issue is when I'm looking at like a guy making the one of the three two ways and what they want. Like the reason they've always gone Drew Smith over Alondis Williams is they want the guy that they can trust. They want the guy that can play a specific role and has a specific ability. And Drew Smith has the ability to just run the offense, get out the way, put guys in the right position, not, you know, doesn't need the ball in his hands for a long period of time to be effective. And my question with Alondis is like, if Miami, there's a game where they're down a player and they need somebody to step in to the rotation, like what is he filling in for? Like, cause it's not like his job won't be to fill it and just go do everything and score like he does in these games. So I think that's kind of the question. I think they need to kind of figure out what his role is going to be specifically, like what's his main strength. But he's a good player. Like he's a skilled player and he's a fun player to watch, especially when he has it going. The issue is like there couldn't be ups and downs, but when he has it going, like he's a really skilled guy. So the question is like these other guys, and this is the real thing. So they have Drew Smith locked into their two way.
Mm-hmm.
Poland and Keshawn Johnson, the other one, the third one is Zion Poland. Zion Poland to me is kind of like Drew in a way because he's also like an under control point guard that could set up your system. So if you're going to take a chance on third two way, that's the reason for the three two ways. You use kind of different abilities across the three. My question is, like, it's not the craziest thing to throw Alondis in the mix because of that, but I just don't think it ends up happening. Like, I think there are some other guys they end up leaning toward. And Zion Poland, I don't want to put him in a box either. Like, I think he's really talented, and you're probably going to go to him. But I just kind of – I'm kind of curious how they lay out the two-ways. Because as much as people talk about Drew Smith, I don't think he's getting cut off that two-way. I think they want a guy that's been in their system, knows what they're doing, can throw into games when needed. He's going to stick around. Keshawn Johnson – he's going to stick around. The question is, who's going to be this third one? Because there's a bunch of point guards on this roster that are fighting for it, and it's pretty even right now, to be honest.
All right, so, Alex, I'll go to you on that as we close here. So Isaiah Stevens did not play tonight, mm-hmm. and I know that we have a fan in our network. Digital Adele is a big fan of his, and it kind of stuck out. Is he ahead of Poland to you?
I don't know. I honestly, and I know I like – people will get frustrated when I don't just like pick an answer, but honestly, like I don't feel very strongly about either one. I agree with Brady that it feels like it's a competition right now for that last spot. Cause I agree. Keshawn is definitely not going anywhere. And I don't think Drew is going anywhere either, especially with like their apparent lack of perimeter defense now on the roster. Thank God they brought Haywood back, or else we might've seen Drew Smith starting, but no, in all honesty, like Drew was pretty solid at that position last year, and I thought showed some growth there, like became an even better defender, has, you know, decent size for a point guard, and just really didn't try to do much on offense, just kind of stay out of the way and occasionally hit an open three, you know, set a guy up. And so if you're looking for a guy to fill that archetype, I think Alondis isn't that guy, but I do think like this point guard crop that they've got right now is the deepest that they've had in a while. Like it's encouraging. I think they all bring different things, right? You know, some overlapping skills for sure. But like to me, like Stevens is the best passer out of all of them. I think he's a natural point, and you know, averaged 7 assists in college. And I think, you know, that second game when they started him there, I thought he looked really nice, just kind of, you know, setting the plays up and very natural there. I think Pullen has some of that too. Although I feel like just from what I've seen, because I'm not like a college basketball expert by any means, just from what I've seen so far, it feels like, you know, he will look for the shot a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I feel like both of them, Pullen and Stevens, can shoot. I would like to see like more of it just to get more of a sample. But like, I feel like both of them have that in their bag. Stevens is a bit smaller, but is kind of bulky for someone that small. And I just think brings a good energy to the floor. And so I don't really have an answer as far as who I think gets that last spot. I think it really just depends on what you want, because Pullen does offer more size at that guard position. And if you trust the catch and shoot three, maybe he's the guy, especially since he already has the two-way. And they've kind of been linked to him for a while now. I think maybe he's the guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Stevens or they just go back to Alondis, because it seems like they've liked him too. But I agree with you guys that Alondis is not the role guy, the role player alongside some of their other players. Maybe like Terry, Tyler, and Jimmy all out. You need another shot creator. Yeah. Maybe that's his role. Otherwise, it's a little weird.
Yeah, no, I'm with that, and that's
why. Shout out to him for hitting a three tonight, though.
Yeah, I know. But I think when you look at it, they still see themselves, again, not as a contender necessarily yet, but they see themselves kind of in a playoff mix. And that's when the guys who can carve out roles in those spots. It really is. Like, the way it's been described to me is, who can you put around your best players? And so we always talk about it's really who can you put around Jimmy and Bam? And there are certain archetypes I think that they need. Alondis may have the highest upside, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it so far, even though he played better tonight, just in terms of his fit with this group. All right, thanks to Brady. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to our sponsors, insurancebylinette.com. Prize Picks, use the code 5, FIVE. We'll have more episodes throughout the week. Subscribe to Off the Floor. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.